Hey, everybody. It's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. A very special episode today. One of my best friends in the whole world, Andy Bolt, hilarious comedian. You've seen her all over TV, movies, podcasts, internet videos. She's been in some of my most favorite YouTube videos that I've ever done, including the America's Funniest Home Videos sketch, in which she plays my girlfriend who gives me a fake lottery ticket, and then I go apeshit. She's incredible. I started working with her as a tour guide at Universal Studios back in like 2004. We've been in improv groups together. She's just the best. Played softball with her, basketball on the Universal squads, and she's an incredible athlete. More importantly, she's an incredible human being, and we get some hilarious stories, and we just have a great catch-up sesh. I hadn't seen her in a little bit, so it was great to have some chuckles. But more importantly, she came on to promote a documentary she's making about her mom, who was diagnosed with neuroendocrine tumors, which is a rare and often misdiagnosed form of cancer. That's the reason Steve Jobs passed away. Her mom is the sweetest, coolest person you could meet, and this documentary is an amazing piece of film that you get to see a daughter and mother who love each other so much, and comedy injected into a tragic situation, and how Andy's mom, Terry Bolt, found the World of Warcraft game and found this like community of compassion and support, and it's one of the most incredible things I've seen. And I'm not just saying that because she's a great pal of mine. You can go to wowmomthemovie.com. Please go to it as soon as you listen to this podcast. Wowmomthemovie.com. There's a Kickstarter they have. They're a little bit short of their goal right now. They've got a week left to do it. You can donate $5, $1, $1,000. There's incredible incentives. Chris Hardwick's all involved with this. Some cool incentives on there. And it's just, you know, if you got a family member you care about, if you know anyone who's gone through and experienced and had to deal with, you know, cancer, and you like seeing people do great things and you want to help out by doing very little, then please go to wowmomthemovie.com, pledge and support the Kickstarter with as much as you can, and I guarantee it's a worthwhile cause. The trailer is also on the website, on the Kickstarter site, wowmomthemovie.com. If you don't get choked up and laugh and feel inspired by this trailer, you don't have a soul. So, and hey, if that actually does happen and then you find out you don't have a soul, please don't track me down, because I was just making a joke. So everybody has a soul. Anywho, follow Andy on Twitter at Andy Bolt. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad on Twitter at Funny Brad. You can see me at my home club in Bellevue, Washington, up in the Pacific Northwest, December 26th and 27th at the Parlor Live. I'll be doing two shows a night, 7:30 and 10, a couple days after Christmas. Come out and see me, celebrate the holidays, get in the spirit of the new year. You can also see me in Las Vegas at the Tropicana Laugh Factory, December 29th through January 4th. Happy New Year. And Brad Williams, where's that little guy going to be? Well, he's going to be ripping it up, killing it still. Back on the road. He's back on the road, which is great. I know y'all missed him out there. You can see him at the Ontario Improv, December 12th and 13th. And I'll actually be with him in Ontario, California. Shows at 7:30, 9:45. Go to improv.com for tickets. And Brad and I are both going to be at the San Jose Improv doing the Adam Carolla podcast live with Adam Carolla, December 20th, San Jose, California, 7 o'clock. And then, of course, Brad will be in Kansas City at the Kansas City Improv for New Year's, December 31st. Go check him out there. All our tour dates at AdamRayTV.com and BradWilliamsComedy.com. Of course, go over to AboutLastNightPodcast.com to listen to all past episodes with Bob Saget, Kevin Neal, and Lisa Kudrow, Chris D'Elia, Brent Moore, and Ron Funches. So many more great episodes coming up. The Melissa McCarthy episode is almost here. Melissa and Ben Falcone, her husband, crushed it. That episode's coming out in a few weeks, as well as Dana Carvey. And we just got confirmation that Jason Alexander, George from Seinfeld, is going to be on the podcast. What? Yeah, man. So subscribe to it on iTunes so you can get all these amazing episodes. And of course, go to iTunes and subscribe, like I just said, and comment on the podcast. Comment, leave a 5-star rating. Really helps us out. If you could take 2 seconds and do that, we'd really appreciate it. And then when you're done with that, continue to support the podcast and go to estoymerchandise.com, estoymerchandise.com. Pick up an ABLN t-shirt or tank top for your lady. Buy a shirt, support the podcast, wear it everywhere you go so people know about the show. Eh? Those are the tour dates. Those are the Twitter handles. That's the About Last Night podcast t-shirt info. And of course, go to wowmomthemovie.com and pledge and support the Kickstarter for Wow Mom the Movie, produced by my hilarious pal who's here right now on the About Last Night podcast. Enjoy, Miss Andy Bolt.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to a dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's About Last Night.
How's that?
Ooh. Ooh. And you can pull it out or you can put it closer to your face?
Oh, I know you can pull it out. How do you think I haven't had a pregnancy scare this long?
Wait, let me just ask you this real quick. Okay. You were mentioning how you've been in my apartment building before because of Tinder.
That's right.
I've been having a lot of Tinder conversations recently because I myself am not on Tinder, but I'm getting very curious.
Okay.
Have I uploaded the app? Sure. Have I swiped? Yeah.
Have I swiped
right?
He's only swiped right. I think if you're a dude, you're only swiping right.
But can I be honest? I'm a little terrified of being murdered on Tinder.
That's fair. That's definitely fair.
Because I feel like I've exchanged messages with one person,
and
there got to a point where there was a possible meetup scenario happening, and then I just was like, I had this like weird fantasy about. Fantasy is the wrong word. Nightmare about being
a day nightmare
about being about how did Adam die? Tinder, you know, it was a Tinder killer.
And only New York is covering it, or what's going on? Yeah, it definitely. I feel like it's interesting that you're a male and you're worried about that. But I would feel like you have to be worried about that because you're popular. People know who you are. You could have a crazy stalker. Person.
Yeah.
But I like on your Tinder, do you have like, I'm Adam Ray, like I'm a comedian, check out my podcast. Like, do you have that stuff on there?
No.
Because I have seen some YouTubers that are like, yo, check out my merch. And it's like,
oh,
they're
shit.
Like, a lot of people use it for promotional reasons. But I
love
feel
the people
like,
on Tinder who post a picture of like them with their fiance.
Oh, yeah.
Or them, or the ones where there's no picture.
Mm. Yeah, swipe left.
Those people
to the left
are very.
There's a lot.
Sexually.
Okay, there's a lot of like swingers that are on Tinder where it's
nice.
Like, hey, this is me and my husband.
Oh shit!
And we're looking for a third.
That's what it is.
Yeah, that's definitely what it is.
Have you ever swiped on that?
Yes, I have. There was this couple, so nice, very sweet, and I swiped right on this couple because I was fascinated. They're just like, hey, you might be noticing that every picture is the both of us because. When you swipe right, you get two. And
whoa.
I was like, what?
Was that in their description?
Yeah. And they're just like, it's really hard to find a third. So I've been fascinated by this idea. And this person, the girl who is interested in hooking up with a couple,
yeah.
Is called a unicorn because they're really hard. They're really hard to find.
Nice.
And yeah, they were just like, I was like, hey guys, I'm really curious. Like, how does this work? They're like, well, you know, we can exchange phone numbers and we can chat. A lot of times what we do is like take people out for drinks to see if we all like each other. Because
wow.
if we're all
that's
not
like
three on board.
It's like old fashioned, menage a trois. Like,
yeah.
They want to feel like they don't want to just get straight to fucking. They want to like make sure.
Right. They were like, it's better when
there's
everyone feels safe. And like, yeah. And they're like, you
we'll
know, a lot of toys.
Sensibilities.
Yeah, exactly.
We like the same movies.
Totally. He was like, I was thinking about getting into stand-up. Like, if you want to come out tonight, like my band is playing and my girlfriend's going to come and you guys can catch up, like get to know each other, see if you like each other.
I mean, I'm laughing, but that does seem like the way to go about doing it.
I think it's the only way to do it.
Just walk into a room and have two people going, you ready?
Yeah.
And have never had any information exchanged.
I felt bad. I felt like I stringed them along a little bit because I was so curious that I was like, yeah, like let's chat. So I gave him my phone number and like we're on like a three-way like iMessage, right?
That's how it starts.
And exactly. And they were just so, I mean, they were smooth. They're really smooth. And the way they talk about like sexually, like the kind of stuff that they want to do and like the toys and stuff like that.
Now, when does that come up?
Early. Real early.
Because I was going to say, is it like,
I mean,
hey, have you seen Dumb and Dumber 2? Speaking of 2, do you like 2 or 4 fingers in the ass? Well, and you're like, whoa.
They were just like, have you ever, I forget, like it's so many toys I've never heard of. Like I haven't implemented enough toys into my life, apparently.
You have some toys.
A toy.
Yeah.
I've got a toy because I'm a lady.
What? Yeah. How many do you need?
Well,
what are you, a
trunk?
7-year-old?
When they were describing it to me, I imagine they had this like this old-timey like sex trunk and it's just like all kinds of stuff. They're like, we keep everything really clean. We get tested like all the time. Like, is it okay if we ask that you get tested first? And I was like, yeah. Like, but then I felt bad.
We'd like
never...
you go to the DMV, also take a driving test.
Yeah.
We're all about tests. How many, what was one of the toys that you did like, have never heard of that was maybe intimidating but also enticing?
I'm forgetting it now. It was a lot of the like butt stuff because like it was just so much butt stuff and they were just like
that more sweetly.
They were like, you haven't well, if you haven't tried it, like how do you know if you, and I was like, you
great
know what
argument.
That's fair. It is a great argument, you know.
You're also like, I know what the butt's for, and it's mostly not for what you guys want to do with it.
Yeah exactly. Squatty potty was on I gotta get one of those. That's my Christmas wish list.
That's a squatty potty.
You don't know what a squatty potty is?
No.
Do you know what Shark Tank?
I don't watch enough
the
TV.
Best television show.
Another
on
one.
Hulu.
I've watched it a few times actually, and I am actually pretty riveted by
Mark
it.
Cuban is my idol.
Did you see
amazing.
The SNL ripoff? You see Beck play that one guy?
Oh my god, Beck is crushing it. Yeah, he's doing so great. A squatty potty is this thing that goes around your toilet so that you can squat, because squatting and shitting is more. It was on
Please
Dr.
talk
Oz.
Talk about this. Okay, that's where I saw it.
It was on Dr. Oz. I just shot a video over at BuzzFeed, and they're all their toilets are outfitted with squatty potties, which is amazing.
Do you think it's going to explain to the listeners what that is?
Okay, a squatty potty is this apparatus that goes around your toilet so that you can be in the squat position, and it opens up your colon so that
because the way you shit now, folks, is not,
you're not shitting
healthy.
Right.
It's not appropriate.
Right.
And something that we never think about, because you're just like, I gotta, usually when you gotta go, it hits you, you know, not whatever, quickly, semi, you're not, nobody wants to fucking take their time, right? Like,
right.
You gotta, but so nobody thinks about their posture.
Right. Nobody thinks about their posture.
We're the infomercial for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like exactly. I mean, if I'm happy to pimp this. I mean, it's a fascinating, it's only $25. And it's
where?
Christmas time. It's a good squattypotty.com. When you squat, it basically shoots out of your body. It's like whoosh. Like, here's the thing. You're not going to be able
to... Does the sound effect come with the squatty potty?
Oh, you bring your own sound effect.
You bring
effect.
Your own
sound effect. That's right.
That's got to be the disclaimer at the bottom.
Bring your own
squatty potty does not come with hilarious sound effects.
It's
you
so...
must provide the own hilarious sound effects.
It was so funny because on Shark Tank, it's like this guy pitching it, but he has his mom there. And they're like, did you develop this like with your mom? And he's like, well, she gave me the money to do it. I'm like, yeah, because that's how we all start out.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I had this idea. Mom, I got this great idea. People are going to shit. Shit faster. All right, honey, I love you. I support you. Here is my life savings. And then it's like a Dr. Oz, and she's like walking out of the fucking Shark Tank like a millionaire, you know, because it's a great invention.
So is it comfortable to sit?
So I was trying it out at BuzzFeed. It depends on how your squat is, if you're comfortable squatting. It's just a thing to so that
have you did your... I mean, your poop experience actually, was it better?
It was great. I mean, it was fast. It was awesome. Like, as ladies, we want to be in and out. We don't want people to know we're shitting.
No.
Thank you, squatty potty. You know what I mean?
Wow.
It also, I just did it to pee, too, because why not?
Yeah.
Growing up on the ranch, I realized I squatted and shitted a lot as a child. And then you grow up and you stop wiping your butt with leaves. And it's like, when did that turn happen?
What?
You know when you're going out hiking or horseback riding and you're gone for hours?
I don't.
Well, sometimes it happens and you just got to dismount off the horse and go in the bushes. And
you would let's talk about that growing up on the ranch.
Mm-hmm.
You would how many animals were on that ranch in what part of California again?
So it's up in the Kern River Valley,
right.
So it's basically if you go to Bakersfield and you head east for an hour and a half and you drive past all the meth heads. You get up in the woods. And we don't have neighbors for 2.5 miles. I grew up without electricity, so we had a generator.
What?
We had running water. I mean, when the generator's on, it's like having electricity. Just no phone or anything. You fancy people on your phones. When I moved to LA, my first apartment, I like played with the lights. I was like, whoa!
It was blowing your mind.
There's no generator. And I'd get up to go to the bathroom, and I wouldn't turn my lights on. My roommate was like, why don't you ever turn the lights on at night? I'm like, because I don't need them.
That's so
like, I was
funny.
Just so used to not having lights.
You really grew up, I mean, a bare minimum of necessities.
Yeah, basically my parents like met and they're just like in love and they're like, let's go to Alaska and live off the grid and not, you know, come to society every 6 months.
We'll teach our kids how to eat salmon out of the lake.
Yeah. And then and then they got pregnant that first year. Yeah. And my mom was like, my kids are going to be weird if we do that. Let's do the next best thing. So we were only half hour outside of the nearest town. So now I'm not a total weirdo. I'm just kind of a weirdo.
How would you become, because you're one of the funniest people I know on the planet.
Oh, thank you.
So how do you run bits by the horses when you're out in the middle of the woods?
Absolutely. Or? You're joking, but when I was a kid, I had invisible friends. We would put on shows.
Who were their names?
Jammin' and Friends. I don't know who the rest of the people were, but I was like, those are Jammin's friends.
Wow.
But I would just like screw stuff up. My mom would be like, Angie, like come clean this up. I was like, I didn't do it. It was Jammin'. everything was Jammin's fault. But my older sisters, I was so annoying because I always wanted attention and I was like constantly like making jokes and I was watching
to get attention.
Yeah. And nobody wanted to play with me. So my mom would be like, you go talk to Tom, which was my horse. So I would go horseback riding with Tom and I'd be like, Tom, blah, blah, blah. Like Tom was my best friend. He's buried on the back porch. We have a pet cemetery.
Was Tom? Cool. Who else is in that pet cemetery?
Oh, everybody! Everybody's out there. My dad buries them with the backhoe. But we have tons of goats that have Corbin and Lilu were two goats because we liked Fifth Element. And then a lot of our dogs are just like George, Henry, Frank. Like
for sure, those are great dog names.
Great dog names.
Mm-hmm. What was your horse Tom? Was he receptive of your witty banter?
I think so because his ears would turn around. Like nice. I'd be riding him, and his ears would be like, "I'm listening," you know. And I'd be like,
oh, shit.
"Tom's the only one who gets me." Like
so, you really.
I was being called fire crotch and stuff at school, and I didn't know what that meant because I didn't have pubic hair yet.
Yeah,
and I just like being like,
how fucked up is that? Kids are like calling you like labeling you with stuff and insulting you with stuff that's not even there yet, and you're like,
yeah. I was talking about this recently because a kid used to call me fire crotch. My mom was a teacher at the school, so I was always overhearing shit kids aren't supposed to know, and so I had this dirt on him that I was never using. And so one day he was just like, stupid fire crotch. And I was like, huh, at least my parents aren't getting a divorce.
Yo.
And he cried.
And you went straight for the heart.
And I got in so much trouble.
Of course.
I got in so much
now,
trouble.
Now, did he know his parents were getting a divorce? Because that would have even stung even harder.
What?
What?
Oh, my God. What are you talking about?
Oh, man.
Dad's just on vacation. Yeah. What do you mean?
You're like, no, he's not.
No, he's not.
He's with Bernice, the maid.
Oh, man. Yeah, what? He was a total dick. Forrest Mack is his name. He was a dick. I will say his first and last name. I'm protecting no one.
Kids are so cruel because they have no idea with their... I was talking about this on a past episode, how when I was, you know, very chubby, people would, this one kid called
me... An adorable, chubby little basketball
thank
player.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I was quick fat, as we've talked about. But this one kid...
Not a thing. Okay.
Well, I was a fast, fat kid, and quick fat sounds awesome.
Okay.
So he called me the Jell-O Jiggler. And it was like, not even just like, hey, fat tits, or no. What, like, not specific. It was just like something that was clever and that was like.
And just for you.
Oh, man.
Just for you.
So, but again, like, I didn't, like, all you have to do for some nicknames were that, like, clever. And then some were just like fire crotch. At least it was like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would call this kid tight pants because he had tight sweatpants. And it fucking
I thought they had loose pants and it was just ironic. I'm kidding.
I wish I was that clever. I was big on wordplay.
Oxymoron.
He lost his shit. Like, wore these tight sweatpants and I would just be like, yeah, whatever, tight pants.
Ooh, burn.
Oh, man. He cried one day over it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Because he was a faggot. No, I'm kidding.
You hear that, Jesse Davis?
So when I was a kid, like in the early 90s, right? Yeah. Like fag and gay were like these huge insults. And like now it's like like, I hear the word faggot, I just don't even think it's like a real word anymore. It's like, that word is so stupid. Gays are wonderful. Like, you know, whatever. But when I was a kid, I remember this kid was being awful, and he was older than me, and he was being such a jerk, and he was calling, saying that my sister was a slut because my, it's a small town. Yeah. So I was
everybody
like,
everybody everybody's business. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm like getting really heated. Right. I get like mad tears, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, that kind of like beet red face, and I didn't know what to do. And he was walking by me one day, and my mom was like, just, you know, if he said Abby was a slut, just tell him his brother's gay, because his brother was like the most popular, like sexiest guy quarterback in high school. And my mom like just said it like get out of the kitchen, like leave me alone.
Yeah.
And so I saw him.
Go talk to Tom.
Yeah, exactly. So I saw him and I go, hey, your brother's gay. Like just like a few days later, yeah, like completely unrelated. He's like, what the fuck did you just say to me? I was like, your brother's gay. And he's like, I'm going to kick your ass after school. You're fucking dead. And he starts losing it. All these kids gather around. They're like, oh, Cody's going to beat up Andy.
Dude, yeah. Once news of a fight breaks out, by the way,
forget it.
You get like, there's like a pattern. It's like, what's going to happen? And then like 3 o'clock, and then someone's like, ooh.
Yeah.
And once that ooh person happens, like the fight is on.
It was totally one of those like stupid, like Adam Sandler movie, like moment type things. And so I ran to my mom's classroom. I was like, we got to move. Like I have to be homeschooled. Like I'm going to die. Like I was so upset. I was like 11 and just like, and he was so much older than me and like so much bigger. My mom's like, that's not gonna happen. Like he's not gonna like beat the crap out of a little girl, sure, like in the schoolyard. And I was like, no, like he meant it. He beat the crap out of me with words, you know, like I just showed up and he had obviously been told, like by the time it came back around, people were like, you're not going to go beat the crap out of that little 11 year old girl. Like he was like 14.
He probably did have to be like coerced out of it though. Like there's probably something like pumping through his veins where he was like, I don't fucking take shit from anybody. And also at that age, I don't think you totally know that it's like not right to hit women, right?
You know, a lot of guys never figure that out. You know what I mean? I don't think it'd be such a problem. There wouldn't be all
fired,
these.
Ray Rice.
Yeah. Boom, boom. Oh, that's sad. But yeah, I feel like it's just interesting how when you're a kid, like just if somebody called my sister slut now, I'd be like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like, all I did was say, your brother's gay. And that was enough to ruin. I mean, that was like my life that year. You know what I mean? Like that was like enough. I was so hated. And
Now did you start to see the reaction and him cry and that, like, because you thought you were being, somebody must have laughed too. Like I'm trying to figure out like when with some of those words, because you've got like a in your comedy, you got a lot of punch.
Well, like you're, so what happened was this is when I first started having comebacks actually.
Yeah.
Forrest was calling me Firecrotch, and when the first person to call me Firecrotch was my science teacher.
Now, if somebody describes your comedy as like having like being like a firecracker, do you take offense to that because it's still got fire in there?
Not now. I guess it depends on who says it.
Yeah,
no, I'm kidding. No, I don't. Like people do describe me as like brash or you know, really kind of like in your face or whatever. But I also feel like it is because I have red hair.
For sure.
Casting directors have told me your look is it's a strong choice. You know, so I feel like as soon as I go on stage, when I say something, you could say the same thing. It just seems more
for
like
sure
intense.
Yeah, because I know you like doing such like sweet like performances that are just so funny because of how real and sweet. Like, so I know both sides of it. But
yeah.
So it's so funny to hear that some people just are like, yeah, they see the red hair, and then you know your natural persona is, you know, not in your face, but very like.
It's assured. Loud. Yeah, it's assured. It's a lot of confidence because like you have to fake confidence your whole life, right?
Yeah.
And then you get into comedy and it's like, I don't care if you like it. I'm hilarious.
Yeah.
Then you cry at night by yourself.
thank you, Lean Cuisine.
Yeah.
Wait, so what so
it's
science...
by Squatty Potty.
Oh.
You can use it to get rid of your Lean Cuisine.
Oh god.
We have so many sponsors.
I will get a Squatty Potty by the end of this podcast.
Oh my god, yeah, you will.
So science class.
Oh, so science class. So it was, you know, sex ed week and Mr. Woody, we had the question
Mr.
box.
Woody?
Oh, Mr. Woody. Mr.
Teaching
Frank
sex ed?
Woody, yes. Still a family friend. He was teaching sex ed. And
wait, so you knew him as a family friend and then he was teaching
small
you
town.
How?
Yeah, small town.
He's like,
so,
these are the toys you want to avoid when using butt play. And you're like, what? He's like, someday he'll meet a couple on Tinder.
What was your sex ed like in middle school? Because
hilarious.
It sounds more intense than mine.
It was hilarious.
They're like, how to do.
I mean, I laughed all the way through it. When I was in fifth grade, showing the pictures of the guy. Also, the voiceover is not – don't use a guy that's so proper about it. Just have a normal guy be like, hey, there's a penis. Yeah, we're in the shower now. There's a silhouette of a guy. He's going to probably start touching that thing pretty soon. Just because, hey, he's in the shower and his wife's asleep.
It should be very casual.
No, I'm saying it should be that.
Oh, yeah.
But instead it's like so formal, like,
sure.
No, we're going to look at the penis. Like almost like those – remember the guy who did the voiceover for those Mickey Mouse cartoons?
Mickey Mouse?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like it was like, Pluto's on his way
Yeah. Okay.
It was like that same
I thought you meant
guy.
Like, oh boy, a penis.
Disney sex ed class?
Yeah. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoa.
Wow. All of Mickey's catchphrases are basically him coming.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Goofy?
We can't be the first people to think that's probably all over.
I know. We both had a moment of like, we're geniuses.
Oh, my God. I just knock out your microphone.
See ya.
I'm going to make millions.
Excuse me, Walt Disney?
Yeah. Sex ed, I feel like, is boys being like, oh, man.
Of course.
And girls just going, what is my period? Please explain it. Please. Like, in our heads, we're just like, could somebody please just tell me what's going on? My mom, it's uncomfortable for my mom to talk about. Please tell me what's going on.
Yeah.
So Mr. Woody has this question box, and you could ask, like, anonymous questions. They're, like, embarrassing, and you don't have to raise your hand, right? So somebody asked, are all pubic hairs black? And he reads it and he goes, I don't know. Why don't we ask Andy, right? Fire crotch.
What the fuck?
And Forrest,
I thought you were going to say, why don't we ask Tyrone, the fucking token black kid in the Farmville?
Oh no, there were no black people. That's a lie. There was Mark Reed. He was the one black kid. and when he ran against me once for school president, and I thought he was going to win because he was so funny. And he also was like, vote for Mark, pick me, and then put a pick in his afro. And I was like, damn it, that's good. That's so good.
He's got props.
Oh, he's got props.
His wordplay is brilliant.
It's brilliant. Yeah. But so he calls me Firecrotch. And then Forrest, of course, was like, yelling at me, Firecrotch. And I was like, I have to go to the bathroom. So I ran to the bathroom and cried. And so I had no comebacks, right?
Yeah.
And my cousin, who was being punished by having to come live at the Bolt Ranch because he was smoking too much weed in middle school. So his freshman year of high school, he had to live with us. And he was like, Andy, you're not giving any comebacks. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, insult me. I was like, you're stupid. He's like, bite me. And I was like, whoa, that's crazy. What did you just do? Like, it's
magic.
This
is incredible, by the way. You got coached.
Oh, I got coached. Yeah, because I was being bullied so bad. And this is my theory on why redheads are always portrayed as bullies. Okay. I think that we're so bullied that we have to become the bigger bully to overcompensate. Like, think about it. Like, every movie, every TV show, like, the redheaded people are the villains. We're all these awful human beings.
Yeah.
And it's because people are treating us terrible. And our cousins told us, have a better comeback. So I was like, boom, your parents are getting a divorce. And then I went home and he was like, okay, we got to work on this. Like, little,
you went
like something like you're fat or like tight pants maybe. But like, yeah, at least my parents aren't addicted to meth. Like, that was a little personal.
Yeah.
Like, you read that in the newspaper.
Yeah.
Like, one kid was like a terrible bully. And I was like, well, his dad just had a DUI because it was like in the paper. And I was
you were
like,
topical with your insults.
Yeah.
You were very current.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, that, hey, but you know what?
Like, it made me feel terrible though. Like, all of a sudden, like, watching somebody cry, I had no sense of,
so you
like,
knew you were never gonna be a roast comic.
I don't want to be that. Like, that's really terrible.
Okay, so but you still needed a way to deal with the bullying. So how did you find a balance?
My dad told me, don't say anything, just go out there and be better than them.
Decent advice.
I tried to do that. I tried to speak with my actions, not my words. I tried to just take it and let it roll off me.
Sure.
But then there was Tim McGurfin. Oof, Tim McGurfin. He was also full name. He's friends. He's really good friends with my brother-in-law. One time he shoved me. I just couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah.
And I'd never cursed because I was afraid I was going to go to hell. So I never cursed or anything. But, you know, as an adult, I'm like, that's fucking cunt stupid.
By the way, if you ever have an action figure, the phrase will be, that's fucking cunt stupid.
That's so stupid only a cunt would say it.
What a great catchphrase.
I can't wait to make that action figure.
Oh, my God.
And so I just couldn't take it anymore. He said something real mean, and I was like, you know what, Tim, you're an asshole. He's like, what the fuck you say to me? What the fuck you say? You know, don't call your bully an asshole when you're standing next to a ravine.
Yep.
So he shoves me down this hill. I go tumbling because I'm wearing my softball bag and I'm like, I'm turtling at the bottom. Like I can't get up. God. And he starts throwing rocks at me. And
as you're tumbling?
As I'm like turtling, like not being able to get off my back. And so I run to the front of the school and my mom is talking to the sheriff whose daughter's like on the softball team. And I'm like bleeding and dirty. I'm like, we got to go home. And my mom's like, what happened? And I'm like, nothing. And then the officer's like, you're not going anywhere until like you explain like what's happening. And I was like, I call him an asshole. It was my fault. I should have done it. And then he threw rocks at me. And like, and I'm 15. Like, this is not like a, Jesus. Like, I'm just a pathetic. Like at this point, I'm like, and he was like, hey, I'm gonna go talk to him. Terry, we should press charges. And I was like, please don't. Oh, my God. It's going to get so much worse.
Isn't that so funny as a kid? You think, if you get the kid in trouble, you're like, Mom, you don't understand. It's Tim McGurfin. He'll retaliate.
Yeah.
The last kid that tattled on him, he pushed him down a bigger ravine.
And I guess he scared him because then, like, the next day of school, he was like, ugh. I'm sorry. I was like, oh my God. Okay. You know?
Did he have a butt? Was there like some sort of, I'm sorry, but just so you know, this shit ain't over. You know, like the bully catchphrase of like,
I don't know.
To be continued.
I don't know. I blocked out most of high school.
Yeah. Blocked out McGurfin.
Blocked him out. I mean, he's now a cop, good person. You know, everybody grows up. When MySpace first happened, remember that? Remember that old thing?
I do.
We were all like on it.
We were all about it.
People were reconnecting.
Hey.
I got like 3 emails from high school bullies being like, hey, I was a real shithead. Oof, I grew up. I have a daughter now. If anybody treats my daughter the way I treated you, wouldn't that be shitty? Anyway, good life, you know? And I was like, oh my God, thank you so much. Like,
that's
really.
That's incredible.
I know. It was really nice.
It's like what Adam Sandler did in Billy Madison with Steve Buscemi.
Yes. Yeah. And it was just really like he'd gone on his mission. This was another bully who was Mormon. And after his mission and he had a kid, and he was like, oh, like I was real terrible to you. But I used to call him Tomato Head. Like, and that drove him nuts because he had a big head that would get red when he played basketball. So I would call him Tomato Head. Like, he could say the worst things to me, and the worst possible thing you could say to this guy is Tomato Head. Like, anything else,
were there subsidiaries of that? Could you be like, yo, you little ketchup bitch? You like break it down even further? Or
again, I just wasn't that clever then.
No, Tomato Head's very clever. And also, like,
is it though? It's no tight pants. Let's be honest.
Yeah, no, but it's the same world where you're just calling. Also,
you find that one thing about them.
Also, being labeled as a fucking vegetable. Yeah. Nobody wants that.
Oh, my sister.
If you're a tall, skinny kid, you're like, what's a fucking celery stick or whatever, like, so stupid, but you're like, I swear to God, I'm gonna fucking,
I just don't want anybody to call me vegetables anymore, Mom.
Yeah,
I'm not a potato face.
Potato face, God. Somebody out there's gotten that. Oh, that's a shitty day.
Somebody's like, oh, this podcast is getting real right now. I gotta turn it off and go meditate.
Speaking of MySpace though, that's actually like when you and I first met, which was I think 2000. I started Universal.
It was either 4 or 5,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because I was still in college.
Were you after me? Was it 2000?
I was before you. Okay. I was 2003 I started.
Oh, okay. I was 2004.
Yeah, that's right. And we started as tour guides at Universal Studios Hollywood.
The entertainment capital of Los Angeles.
Oh, man. How much of the tour do you still remember?
Almost all of it.
Wow.
How can you forget it?
Like, you're right. Well, I mean...
Well, actually, now that I just said that.
How can you forget the people?
I stole one of your jokes on my tour. I think I told you about it, but it's like...
Tell people what the tour is, by the way.
Okay.
I don't know.
The Universal Studios tour is the most entertaining, exciting thing you can experience in Hollywood, California.
You should have done the voiceover for
it. Oh, man, I wish.
It's the tram.
Yeah.
It goes through all the movie sets. Mm-hmm. If you haven't been to the park, it takes you through, you know, you see on TV Jaws, the earthquake, you see all the sets.
It really is the best part of the park because, totally. I mean, I still love it. Because
Everything shoots there.
You're constantly seeing new sets. Like, there's always new stuff going on. And then you're like, oh, my God, I always wondered where they did Site B for Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
It was over
in a given day. It'd
the
be like,
cabin from the Great Outdoors.
Nelly
Coach.
Shooting Dilemma video,
oh, yeah.
Desperate Housewives, when that was a big deal.
Oh yeah,
and I mean, watch it, and not tell people about it. But like,
it's a great job. As a movie buff, I was like, I know all these facts. Yeah. It was really easy for me to memorize it because I already knew all this stuff. Like,
oh,
this,
for real?
Yeah, like when you had to stall, and it's like, oh, like this is where Marilyn Monroe did this. I'm like, here's 11 facts about Marilyn
Holy
Monroe,
shit.
And she was making Some Like It Hot just because I already had all that.
See,
shit
that's
in my
why
head.
Your tour was better than mine, because I would learn enough material, and then if we stalled in the summertime, which when Andy says stall, it means in the summertime, like, the trams would get backed up because we had to get so many people out, because there was hundreds of thousands of people in the park, and it was like,
right.
And, you know, the tram, they were just like, we got to get more trams and more people.
All of a sudden, your tram stops and your driver turns to you and goes, hey, Jaws is down. You're going to have to keep talking for 25
talking.
Minutes. And it's like,
now to somebody like you, you're like, no problem. I've got 400 Jaws stories.
That's true.
To me, I'm like, how much do you trouble you think I'll get if I jump in the water and pretend to be fucking eaten by a shark? And he's like, the fuck are you talking about? Just trust me, man. I would make up facts. And that was my problem because I would literally or like do shitty magic shows or get out of the tram or do
I did the wave once. Like I got out of the tram and did the wave.
Or crowd work. It was a great starting thing for stand up.
Great thing for hecklers.
Oh, man. I would make up. I say this sometimes in my act how when you drive, you would get out of Jaws and drive up that hill towards the Desperate Housewives Street and there are all those bushes. And I did a lot of Japanese tourists one time and I go, if you look off to your right, you'll see a bunch of bushes that were in the film Bushes 1 and the sequel, Bushes 2, Attack of the Bushes. They all turn, start taking photos. I'm like, holy shit. Then I go, you might remember that scene when Al Pacino was like, oh, that's a lot of bushes. And then we just stopped there for a minute and the driver's laughing. I can't remember who it was. And they start taking pictures. And even some of like the non-Japanese tourists were like,
driver stopped the tram so he could take photos.
Oh yeah. Well, he was, because it was just, you know, they see the same shit every day. Yeah. So something like that. And he found it funny. And then I just kept making up facts and they kept taking pictures. And I did that for probably another 10 minutes of the tour.
I mean, this is the joke that I stole from you was another joke that was like that, because going into like all the Jurassic Park stuff, there was just this stack of like poles, like of rebar, like metal poles or whatever. And I was on your tour once and you pull up and you're having to stall and you don't have anything to say. So you're like, if you look off to your left, you're going to see a bunch of poles. They're from the new NBC sitcom. Whoa, that's a lot of poles.
Oh, God.
I'm on your tram and I'm the only person dying laughing because everyone else thinks it's a real show. So they turn and start taking photos of it, right? And I'm dying laughing because I'm like, what show? What can
you
they
knew
really?
I was full of shit. You were
I knew you were full of shit. It's like people just walk into theme parks and turn their brains off. And they just believe anything you say.
And that's why I was taking advantage of it. Because I was like, these people think I'm wearing a badge that says, I work here. My favorite movie is this.
Yeah.
And I'm on this tram. So they go, you know everything.
You know everything. And then what I added to it, I think, is like I would have my clipboard and I'd be like, whoa, that's a lot of poles. Oh, it's canceled. Okay. Coming up, we've got,
nice.
You made
it your own.
Made it. You know, I just.
It was a cool job, though, right?
It was really great. Yeah. I was just recommending somebody, like this kid just moved to LA, like for comedy. Good luck. but he was like, he's staying on my couch because I saw it on the UCB forum. He was like, hey, I need a couch. Like, I'm moving to California. And I was like, there was a time I needed a couch. So gave him a couch.
Nice.
And he's like, I was like, you should go try to get a job at Universal because it really is, especially as like an actor. I mean, also, as a comic, where else can you work on heckling by having somebody breastfeed in your front row? You know what I mean? Like, there's really no other place to work that muscle.
Of course. Also, everybody there works in the business in some regard. And it's like, I mean, you and I, what else did we get to do other than tour guide? We did the Fear Factor.
Oh, the Fear Factor live show.
Warming up.
Brad, who also worked at the Fear Factor live show with us, is like blowing up. He's on every television show ever.
Is he really?
Brad Carter?
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
Like, and I can't name one of them. No, he's on like every show because he's got like he has this like really slow Southern like Georgia drawl and such a
beard.
Specific look. And he was on, you know, what's that show with Matthew McConaughey
there
and the other guy from?
You're doing great, Brad.
Way to go, Brad. Sorry, I haven't watched any of them. No,
dude, that show.
No, great.
The Fear Factor. Yeah, that was.
Oh,
bananas.
That Fear Factor live show was nutso. I remember like working out crowd work there because I was on the warm up. You were a host,
yeah.
So you would come out. And be like, welcome to Fear Factor Live.
I got projectile vomit on and said fuck into the mic in front of 1,500 kids. And Mike McLaughlin goes, you said fuck into the mic. I go, Mike, I got projectile vomited on. What the fuck was I supposed to say? Hey, is that all you got? And he was like, there are kids there. People were leaving halfway. Oh, it was terrible. But yeah.
It wasn't a good show. I mean, we're not saying it was a good show.
It was our job to make it seem like it was the greatest show of all time.
I love that you were the Joe Rogan of Universal Studios Hollywood. And so I wasn't a host because the hosts were always like tall, pretty girls. And I was like, I'm going to get the crowd going.
Well, you had such great energy.
Goo-goo.
A lot of people didn't. Like,
yeah, it's true.
That's a tough skill to come out before the show.
Yeah.
While people were getting seated. People were getting seated and you would have to entertain while they're not expecting entertainment.
Andre was, you warm up in two audience things. So it's like, it's kind of like Cirque du Soleil, right? There's like clowns in the crowd, basically, as we're warming people up. And so Andre is this very handsome black man.
Yep.
And so he would do stuff, and I would like try to yes and his stuff. So he's like, hey, Daddy, look who it is. It's Jackie Chan. And he would just point at any Asian person and say it. And it would get like tons of laughs. Yep. I'd be like, oh my God, can I get my picture with Jackie Chan? And like, we'd do this whole thing. But it was like cool because he's black and it's okay if he calls out racist.
Sure.
So like, I would try that. You know, I'd be like, it's Denzel Washington. And he'd be like, no, no, like that's just racist. I was like, okay. And then like another time I was like, hey, Andre, it's Jackie Chan. He's like, you were just seem so racist. And I was like, oh, you're right. Like,
it's Jackie Chan. I don't know. I'll recognize those A's in shitty driving anywhere. Nope, don't say that. That's too specific. Hey, your parents getting divorced? Hey. Sorry, just trying to strike on all cylinders.
Call back to my life if you were there. Oh, man. Yeah, but I definitely had some fails in that audience.
Yeah, but again, like that, just those skit like prepared you for.
Oh, dude.
I mean, like all your, I mean, it's like every time being on stage now, it's like, I mean, I can say too, like it, the tour guide, that stuff, it all, even though you don't see it, you know, if we would go do, you know, sketch and improv or stand up after that, you don't see the immediate impact of how it's actually like helping
you.
Like, but all those shows in front of that many people and making them laugh, like you're always focusing on like, you know, like, oh shit, I made a racist comment instead of like, yeah, but for 8 out of those 10 minutes, you were making people laugh that weren't of all ages.
Yeah. And you know what was interesting about the tour is that like, what other job do you get to see yourself on camera for an hour straight and like find out what it looks like when you're on camera and stuff and get used to being on camera? Like for a lot of actors who've never done anything, like that was just such a tool. So I can like edit my stuff and see my face and like I don't care because I just look at it like, oh, it's just a part of the project.
Yeah.
But like a lot of actors like freak out when they see themselves on camera, you know? And it was just such a like great muscle to exercise.
Is there anybody that you there were characters on and off set and, and set being in the park, but like some of the people that we worked with,
ooh,
all of them were so, I mean, to me, that was one of the greatest parts of working there because it was people, again, that were all in the business that were, I mean, when I was playing Wolverine, all the guys that were Captain America and Spider-Man were huge comic book fans.
Huge.
So they'd all be in the break room. Like, I was the only guy that didn't know shit. So they'd all be sitting there with their mint condition Marvel comics and like, we just got the newest Marvel edition. Like, and they'd slowly take it out of the thing. I was like, you guys want me to leave? I feel like you're all going to have a circle jerk over this.
The girl who played Lucy was an amazing Lucille Ball impersonator. But like she would show up and she'd be changing the locker room to get into her Lucy outfit, but she'd take off like her I Love Lucy t-shirt and her purse was like, I love Lucy. And then she would like put Lucy on. And I was like, oh my God, like you're a super fan. Yeah. Like that's how you do it.
Yep.
I wasn't any specific like real character in the park. I was on the improv team and I would dress up like a paleontologist at the Jurassic Park ride. But I love Jurassic Park, you know, I knew all my JP facts. So
I think I did that once with you, didn't I?
I think so, yeah.
But like, what would you...
Dude, the guy who got eaten on the toilet in Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
I'm forgetting his name. Martin. Anyway, he would like come to the park all the time because his son loves Universal Studios. And I was like in character. I'm like, oh, look who it is. You got eaten on a toilet, didn't you? And I'm like having this like weird starstruck moment because I'm like, oh my God, I love Jurassic Park. I love anything involved with it. Like, this is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just like, hey, you think I can get more picture with you? And he's like, I'm really just here with my son. Like, if you want to just...
Yeah, like, we can go ahead and stop the shtick.
That's fair. Like, I'm just like, I would do a different accent like every hour. It was ridiculous.
Isn't it shitty when people would kind of like, they wouldn't want to play along with you? Like, I did it to Stamos when he was walking through and I was the New York cop. And I was like, I would do this bit with old women where I'd blow my whistle and go, you know, hey, slow down, ma'am. You're going too fast. And they're like, well, I'm already going slow. That's why that's funny.
Yeah.
You know, so I did it to Stamos.
Not me explaining your jokes. Yeah. I enjoy it for these specific reasons.
Yeah, yeah. And so I did it to Stamos and I go, hey, fancy pants. I go, hey, Mr. Captain Handsome. I go, you're going too fast. What kind of race are you trying to win right now? And he just looks at me and goes, nice. Like, cool, man. I get you're an actor trying to have a moment with
me. That was his public, fuck you, buddy.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't blame him. It was like, I was like, he was having a conversation. I'm accosting him from 20 feet away.
But we're all so hot. It's so hot. And you're just like, I have to stay in this goddamn character. And I just really want to get to that break room.
Yeah. I took a
just say stupid things.
I took a phone from a family once. I go, we were walking, you know, through that middle of the park. That's like, you know, where the Beetlejuice show is and Blues Brothers and New York Street. Where, you know, hey, it's authentic 1940s New York. Just because we put a couple people up in a window screaming about fucking meatballs at you, and people are walking through being like, this is fucking New York, Diddy.
That guy's talking about meatballs. That must be in New York. Authentic.
So I grab this phone from this mom, and I go, let me talk to her. And I go, hey, and I just go on this rant. I'm like, your family's here, blah, blah, blah. Like, they're having a good time. They don't miss yet. They're actually talking about how they go, you know, because they're like, it's my daughter, like, and they're trying to get the phone back from me. I'm like, I got this. I'm trying to have, like, you know, improvise and do a bit, because I just told 9 different kids where the bathroom is and fucking blown whistles at old ladies and fucking taking pictures in front of the cab and just done, you know, fucking tickled SpongeBob, just stupid shit. And so I'm like, hey, you know, your family hasn't missed you, blah, blah, blah. Like, they've been talking about how they're glad that you're not here because they're having way more fun without you. And I go, anyway, we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. And I close the phone. Dad loses his fucking mind. He goes, that was our daughter. She's studying abroad. We haven't been able to get in touch with her for 6 weeks. That was the first time we got on the phone with her.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. And I was just like,
whoopsies.
You guys been on a Simpsons ride yet? Like,
whoa.
Yeah, whoopsie.
Aren't I just a couple of meatballs?
New York.
Do not take my real name, please.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I'm fucking cunt stupid, huh?
Hey, boop, boop. That's so sad.
Yeah, it was awful. I felt so bad.
Also, I think you in your story, you talked about how you closed the phone. It's been a while since we did this job.
Man.
You know what I mean? You're like, really? I closed the phone. It's,
God.
You know, our kids aren't going to know what we're talking about.
They're not.
They're not going to know what we're talking about.
MySpace, you mentioned that real quick before we shift gears here. And that was when we first met and started doing some videos together. MySpace.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, come on.
I forgot. Our videos were huge on MySpace. We were going to be big time.
Oh, man. When MySpace actually could really help you out.
Oh,
it was
yes.
the place for, it was before YouTube.
Patton Oswalt came up to me at UCB and was like, you're that girl from that MySpace video. And yep. I was like, Patton Oswalt.
Yep.
I love you.
Oh, yeah. So Annie and I did this video, right?
Man.
We were doing, I think you got into an improv group. What was it, the improv group called that we did at the...
I think it was...
Upstage Theater, whatever it was.
Some Dead Hookers.
Yes, that was the name of the improv group.
Uh-huh.
With Chris Pascal, Jay McKinney, Drew Coolidge, Andy.
Oh, wait. That's Fornicators of Comedy.
That's what it was.
Yeah, the Fornicators of Comedy.
Oh, man. That was... That was so awesome.
Oh,
you were
my
like,
God.
You want to be in this improv group with me? And I was like, yeah,
I was like, we need people. And oh, my God. Yeah.
It was a great group.
It was... I mean... Everybody in that group was funny.
Yeah.
I mean, we were performing above, you know,
Mosty
like,
Malone's, that like Russian ice cream shop. That like,
yeah.
We have chocolate chip and you
rose,
know.
Rose flavor. They have rose flavored ice cream. I was like, keep your plants out of my fucking like that theater though. Like
rhododendron cream. What?
you'd be going in to do a show, and you're like, hi homeless person, you can't pee on the floor in here. Like we have a show. And I'd be like, Mom, come to LA. I'm making it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm but doing it.
The theater held maybe 40 people, and, and we'd have maybe 7 a show.
Yeah.
And it was like our friends.
It still looked empty.
Friends or people who were like, oh, I thought this was my buddy Jake's band show. There's not a concert here? Like, no, it's an improv show. He's like, oh, all right, I'll see you guys later.
But I thought this is where homeless people were hanging out to do heroin. Not right now. That's in 45 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Right now, we got some yuck-yucks.
Let's stick around for the show.
Ew.
Heroin's after.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool, though.
Oh,
but we
that
got
show
to,
was fun.
Do you remember any of the sketches we did?
Oh, yeah. I wrote this sketch, and I was just like, I literally, how old was I then? I was like 19.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm never going to get any funnier. Like, this is,
I'm peaking.
This is what peaking feels
for
like.
Sure.
I was like, this is so genius. Looking back, it's so not good.
What
like,
was
it's
it?
So bad. It was called Whoa, Family. Do you remember that sketch?
Yes, I do.
Where it's like, I brought an Asian, because we had an Asian boy in our group.
Yeah.
And I brought an Asian boy
Jason
home.
Ree.
Jason Ree. Very funny.
Hilarious,
very handsome.
Yep.
So funny.
Great dude.
And so I was like, the sketch was basically like, hey, Mom, hey, Dad, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then somebody would say a pun and the whole family would like slowly punch their fist towards the ground at the same time saying, whoa.
Yeah.
And then this song from like the 60s would come on and the whole family would get up and dance and then it would end and we'd all sit down. And then the Asian boyfriend was like, this is weird. And he'd look around and then somebody else in the family would make a joke and they'd be like, whoa, you know, we dance. And he's like, this is weird.
Yeah.
And then he would make a joke and then nobody liked it
and it would just get super no song
sketch.
No
it
song
was,
to back
like,
it up just
he like made a joke about like cancer or something like our jokes were like inappropriate it's
yeah.
like we were talking about gays or like race or something and then he made a joke like about cancer
because
like,
he was trying to get on board and like be like oh
exactly.
is this how I need to fit in
yeah and then he got up and was like and there was no music and it was like and then I said my mom has cancer And that was what that sketch was. Little did I know, my mom was going to get cancer. You know what I mean? Like, that was, I was foreshadowing. But I just remember, like, that sketch crushed. That sketch, like, just killed. And I was like, this, I can't write anything better.
Isn't it great?
It's never going to get better.
Fuck, we're so delusional at that
point. So delusional.
But you have to have, but that, it was hilarious though.
I think there is a little bit to that though. Like, I mean, do you ever have that when you're like writing or you do a stand up bit that is like, you're like, this is my
you
headliner.
Think you turned a corner.
And you're like, I mean, but sometimes I worry. I'm like, what if this is the best?
No,
like,
it
what
won't.
If this is the
no,
best
it's
thing?
Not. Because you, I mean, if you're never stopping and you're always, I mean, you're going to keep evolving.
Don't stop to get enough.
See? Yeah. See? That's hilarious.
Hey, thank you.
Just taking
thank
what I said
so
and doing
much.
A Michael Jackson song.
Thank you
see?
So much. yeah, like I definitely.
I totally hear you though. Like, so, yeah, but it's, I think if you.
My problem lately, like the last year and a half, I think because I've been, you know, a little like depressed or something.
Yep.
They say that like the opposite of depression is creation. And I don't want to be depressed. You know, like a lot of artists, like I have to be sad to create.
Yeah.
But the truth is, in going through a lot of shit, I have been so I can't keep up. I can't keep up with all my great ideas.
Yeah,
can't keep up with all these great ideas.
I 1,000% agree because they
so tough.
When you're happy and content and everything's great, you're not like I mean, Conan said this thing about Greg Giraldo, how he's like, all comics are like getting sucked into this black hole, and it's the struggle to get out that like is what makes you great. And he's obviously, and some just fucking can't just get pulled down. But like, but when everything, I mean, and not that you should be totally bummed and depressed, but I sometimes think I'm like, man, like, you know, if I definitely want to have things really start going well so I can be able to fund projects and just and be working a lot more on what I want to do.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, I wonder if my thirst for more will like if I'll level out a little bit because I'm like, cool, I got, you know.
Yeah, like I don't know. I mean, this has been one thing working with Chris Hardwick is he does so much, right? Like he's doing a million things all the time.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I want to be doing. Like I have all these things I'm constantly juggling.
Yep.
And it's like, you know, like I just made a deal with Geek Nation. So Red Baroness is going to go on Geek Nation.
Fuck
and then
yeah.
My new podcast came out today.
Yep.
And then I'm in post on my movie.
Tell
and then
the listeners
I'm pitching
about the podcast.
Another one. Oh, my podcast is called
Pimp It Out.
Bunker Buddies.
Is it up? Can we talk
it's
about
it? It's up. Yeah. It's on maxfun.org.com.
Cool.
I don't know. I'm new with them. Jesse Thorne is helping us with it. It's a website where there's podcasts. But we are, we're Bunker Buddies. You can follow us at Travis and Andy. And Travis McElroy, who's on My Brother and Me, he hit me up like after he saw Red Baroness and stuff. And he was just like, hey, like I've been having this idea to a podcast, kind of thinking that you might be a good partner for it. And he was like, I was like, this is the best thing ever. He wants to do something where it's basically like we're talking about survival all the time, but we're kind of amateur survivalists. So we do like a little bit of research. So it's like we give a little information, but it's really like our first episode is what would you do if there's like an EMP, you know, apocalypse?
Right.
And of course, like my references, my knowledge of EMPs are all from film and television. So, you know, and then it's like we look into like the prep for it. But my mom is an apocalypse prepper. And I basically grew up, you know, in the apocalypse.
Yeah.
So
you can get by with very little.
Oh yeah. And it's like, I'm finally have a place to put all my skill set. Like, I'm like, God, like I grew up like knowing how to skin animals and like shoot guns and.
For real?
Oh yeah. Like.
That's right. You've asked me to come up to the farm and hunt or something, right?
Like, yeah. Yeah. Like I mean, anytime I want to go shoot guns, man, like
kinda
I'm gonna,
do.
Yeah.
I almost went with Adam Devine to Omaha to shoot pheasants.
Oh
I
yeah.
Couldn't. But I was nervous and very excited, but I was like, oh man, cause I've never.
Pheasant hunts are fun.
I mean, you go with the dog. My mom was so nervous. She's
oh,
like,
so nervous.
You're going to be around guns?
It's.
Well, who's shooting them? The dogs? I'm like, what? No.
That would be impressive. I would definitely go see that.
Also, my knowledge of shooting pheasants is just duck hunt. And it's like, I'm going to go ahead and go
pretty
on a limb that that's.
Pretty much the same thing.
Is
no,
it?
It's, yeah, no, it's the same. No, I'm kidding. no, birds are fun to shoot because they're hard. They're like these like moving targets, you know?
You don't feel any remorse, huh, when you take them out?
Not birds. For some reason, I don't really give a shit about birds. Deer, though, a lot of people shoot does for meat. I'll shoot bucks, but only if it is a buck where I know I have a very clear shot and I'm definitely going to eat the meat. And it's like something that, you know what I mean? Like,
what does buck taste like?
It's delicious. Venison is so nice. Bucks are usually, I mean, the thing with bucks is like they're more gamey because they're usually stronger. The does are really the ones that taste delicious.
Oh.
But yeah, like I finally have this like podcast where it's like I have all these outdoor outdoorsy skills that I've never been able to use.
Yeah.
And I finally have a place to bring it.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. So it's really great. And Travis is so funny. And he already has like a really great podcast following. So I'm like, yay.
That's huge. No, when you're getting going like that, having some built-in audience is huge. Like when Brad and I started this, you know, he already had a shit ton of Twitter followers and was on the road. You know, I hadn't been headlining or you know, hadn't obtained my own fans really yet.
Yeah.
So that definitely helps. A lot. I want to say this real quick before we get into our last chunk of this.
Mm-hmm.
That the video that we did on MySpace, because I want people to see it.
So
we were doing this improv show, and then one night we were doing, I think it was the Universal Studios, like they do a showcase for the actors. Like, we're going to help you get agents.
Yes.
And they put us, we had, everybody did a scene. And we were sitting there and just always trying to make each other laugh, just like fucking around, like whether it was, you know, on the break room or whatever. And you started making this, you started crossing your eyes and talking to me, and I've never laughed harder. And it was just so fucking funny. And I was like, and then I would talk to you normally, like, babe, you're embarrassing me. And you're like, embarrass, you're just normal.
What do you mean?
Dude, we're going to have to take a picture and tweet it out after this. But you, it was so funny. And I was like, we got to do a video. So we did this video and just called it Cockeyed Breakup, which is just basically what it was, where I'm breaking up with this girl I had a one-night stand with, who I didn't know was cockeyed. And so then every time I try to break up with you, you pile on another giant like life ordeal that you're going through. And it got like 500,000 hits on MySpace and was on the front page again when that was a huge deal.
No, it got millions of hits on MySpace.
Really?
Yes, because MySpace put it on the front page.
That's
like
right.
It started at like 500, but then like Patton Oswalt was talking about it and like MySpace was like blasting it. And it was millions of hits.
Yeah.
It was like crazy.
Oh, man.
And I remember we were just like, what? And then we do the dumbest thing. The thing that I do love about it, though, is like when we were doing sketches together all the time, we were like, what is like sketch form? Like three beats, whatever. Like, we're just going to do it.
No,
we
it was
think
like
it's
nine
funny.
Minutes long.
And yeah, it's like, it's not like a and it was also shot terribly.
Yeah, but that's what
and
was available at
it
that
was,
point.
Yeah, it was so great. And like we do this joke at the end where we're like reading the news for some reason. Do you remember that?
Oh,
like at the end, we all of a sudden are reading the news and then you snap your... Like it's like
I
all
know.
These weirdo jokes
I
and I love it. I love that
but
we're
you
just
know
like... It makes us laugh. We don't give a shit if you like
and that, and that's... Type in Cockeyed Breakup on YouTube. But that's like what I think is so awesome because to start to... I'm sure you were the same way. Like having the process in your head of like, okay, I'm going to start putting videos out there.
Yeah.
I'm going to start putting myself out there and allowing and knowing what YouTube, what that brings
sure.
as far as posting it and being like, hey, look at my shit. You have to do what's funny to you because
right.
A, that's how you start to figure out what your style and your point of view and brand is. But also, you know, if you start centering yourself, you're just not going to figure that out. So I'm sure we did have some discussion. Also, it was so great that we both thought everything, we were so on board with what we wanted to do. So it was like, what if we do this news thing? It was like, yes. And then it was so fun and we watched it laughing. And I'm sure people were like, what the fuck did that have to do with anything?
I know. It was so stupid. So great.
Yeah.
So great. I make that face a lot. And, it's because it's like so stupid and it catches people off guard. My family does this thing when we don't see each other like for a while or like if I just want to start a conversation with them, I'll take an ugly selfie of myself like making that face or just some ugly face and then I text it out to the whole family and I'm like, ugly selfie off, and then everybody in the family sends back and forth like these horrible photos. And my cousin Casey, beautiful woman, can make herself look like the grossest, awful person. So I use that face a lot for that.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You were also
an ugly selfie off.
One of my best videos of all time, the America's Funniest Home Videos thing.
Oh my God,
which if you want to see Andy Bolt, to me, it's like one of the, it's like makes the video. You're hilarious comedian.
Committed.
But like, you're such a good actress. It's just type in, if you haven't seen it, it was like taking the footage from America's Funniest Home Videos that people did these fake lottery tickets. Just type it in on YouTube or Funny or Die. But you're so, like, that makes that video. Because I can't tell you how many people thought it was real.
Yeah.
I got into an argument with somebody on Facebook who just messaged me being like, dude, that was fucked up that you posted that. I go, what? I go, that was a sketch, man. He goes, no, it wasn't. I go, are you arguing me with about a video
oh my
that
God,
I made?
That's
whether
so
it was,
funny.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Anyway, you're amazing.
Oh, thank you.
And speaking of being amazing,
you're amazing.
Can you talk about this movie that you are in the process of of almost finishing?
Yeah.
It's been a long ordeal.
It has been a very long ordeal. You can check it out, www.wowmomthemovie.com.
The trailer's up there, and it'll give you a great insight into what this whole story is. But
yeah.
let's take...
Basically, like, you know... you and I have been doing comedy like forever. And, you know, back when we were doing Fornicators Comedy, remember we would have parties where we would watch movies,
yeah,
but then make themed food.
Yep.
Right. So I was talking to Hardwick when they were starting Nerdist, and I was like, I really want to do a show like I do with my friends. Like, we make themed food, we watch movies, we dress up. We'll call it Dork Fork. So we do Dork Fork. Right. And we put it up, and his whole like network is kind of like, where's Chris Hardwick? Like, what is Nerdist? Like, who is this girl? And the trolls were pretty bad. And Hardwick was like, people don't know you. Let me bring you on the podcast so that way people will know who you are. Yep. So I go on the podcast, and we were just talking, and he's like, what are you talking about in your stand-up nowadays? And I was like, you know, like, I'm kind of done about, like, just talking about, like, I had a lot of, like, you know, just surface life material, yeah, like, happier stuff. I was like, honestly, my mom has cancer, and that shit I'm not dealing with well, and she's dealing with it by playing a fuck ton of Warcraft. And he was like, what? And I was like, yeah, my mom loves World of Warcraft. Don't ask her to use Google Maps. Like, she can't figure that out. But she can raid, you know? And
so let's give people a little bit of backstory.
Yeah.
So Terry Bolt
is my mother.
Woman. Your mother.
She's 64.
Yeah.
She has neuroendocrine carcinoma, which is Steve Jobs cancer is what, right, we call it. And when they found her cancer, they were like, oh, you're going to be dead in 6 months. And we have to do the surgery.
What was that like for a minute?
That was just awful. My mom had just retired. Like, it was 2 weeks after she had just retired.
Oh, God.
And she's like, I'm headed into retirement. And they were like, you're going to be dead. And so my mom was like, well, I'm eating ice cream.
How does you and the family respond to that? I mean, how many doctors gave like that diagnosis?
Two. And then we found a specialist, and they were like, you have to start aggressive chemo right away. And that's the problem with this cancer, is nobody knows about it. So doctors see cancer and they're like, oh, we have to treat it like regular cancer. But chemo attacks fast growing, fat, rapidly dividing cells.
Okay.
And this type of cancer is slowly dividing. So what happens to like 90% of patients with this is they go through chemo, it doesn't affect their tumors, and then they die from like complications of their treatment, or they just die and nobody found it, and they open them up like, why'd they die? And it's like, oh, because their organs are full of tumors.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was really shitty. And you know, I was working for Will I Am at the time, yeah, doing a bunch of comedy.
That's
stuff,
right, the doing black a bunch IP of comedy stuff with the black website, IPs. And you were crushing it with them.
Yeah. And it was just like, you know, everybody's world was kind of rocked, and my grandmother died from cancer, and it was awful and brutal and terrible. And so,
and your mom, so when she got this news, she just goes, fuck it, I'm gonna just try to enjoy what I, or I mean, how,
well,
I'm just curious how much like panic actually settled, because your family's so great and supportive, and like
she had a grandkid on the way, and she was like, I'm gonna do the chemo, like I'm just gonna do the chemo, because you know, and they were like, you're gonna have to do chemo 6 days a week, like we really need to get into it. And luckily, like, we had a friend who was a doctor, and she found a specialist, and we got into the specialist, and they're like, okay, we need to do this surgery, because first they said, oh, you have three tumors that we have to take care of, and they're just hanging out here. And then we found the specialist, and he's like, so good news, bad news. It's not three tumors. It's like way more than that. It's in your liver. It's in your, lower intestines, in your upper intestine. And when we open you up, it's probably going to be more. Like, with this cancer, there's no test to find it. So, when she had her surgery, they were like, it'll be like 6 hours. They came out after 6 hours. They're like, we haven't removed anything. We're just assessing the situation. Like, it's everywhere. And, you know, it's going to be difficult, but we're going to do it. They removed a third of her pancreas, parts of her stomach. They just took out her appendix because they were in there, and her appendix was full of tumors. She had a whole bunch of tumors in her liver, and it was just everywhere. They removed, it was like 12 or 15 pounds. And
Of tumors.
And for years, she'd been going to her doctor saying, like, I'm eating right, like I'm trying to exercise, like I can't lose weight, and you know, like I just don't feel good. And they're like, no, you're an old lady, like that's just what happens when you get old, like your metabolism dies and whatever. And so she just felt like shit that she just couldn't lose weight, and she couldn't, you know, but her body was gaining weight to support the 15 pounds of tumors. And so it's kind of cool because Cedars-Sinai gave me footage of her surgery, because they use it to teach other doctors about the cancer and stuff.
What is that like?
It's so weird. It's shot really cool. Like,
is it
I was
weird
like,
that I kind of want to see that.
You could, yeah, totally.
For
it's
real?
Gonna be in the movie. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Because I was talking to her surgeon, and he's like, yeah, like we removed this tumor, and there's all these tumors behind it. So they gave me like that shot sequence. And
is it worse than Two Girls, One Cup?
It's no, definitely not. It's weird because it doesn't look like a person, because it's so zoomed in on the insides.
That's incredible.
That like you don't see the person's face or body.
Right.
It's just like really intense, so that they could be looking at the camera while they're taking it out, you know?
Right.
And yeah, it's crazy.
So they remove 15 pounds.
They remove 15 pounds
and
tumors.
And then the next step is?
And then the next step is recovery from that, but also heading into experimental drugs. So my mom is just a guinea pig because she's on all of these experimental drugs. So they, you know, she gets this shot. Like when they give her this shot, you have to like keep the needle moving because if you let it sit, it'll crystallize. And it's $12,000 a shot, and luckily like the clinical trial is paying for it, so she gets this shot and she takes these pills, and you know, it's like a bunch of shitty side effects, and it's like she's like, hey, I have this weird rash that keeps me awake at night. They're like, great, we're gonna put that down as a side effect, you know. So
but the drugs are,
hey, my nails are falling out or my teeth feel weird, and like she's just the guinea pig for it. And so the drugs are keeping her tumors from growing rapidly. So she has a couple in her lungs and then 27 in her liver. So it just keeps her tumors from growing too fast. So hopefully she'll die from something else instead of the cancer. But because, you know, she's a little too old to be on a liver donor list. So
right.
We'll just try to keep her liver around as long as we can.
So the drugs are just, it's quality of life at this point.
Yeah, exactly. And so they're, you know, the side effects of the drugs and life, it's like, great, you just deal with it. You know, like you just deal with these side effects. And luckily, I mean, it took about a year and a half for her to like be functional, like after that surgery, because it ended up being like 15 hours and it was super aggressive.
Yeah, and going into every organ, it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they were everywhere. They had to her intestines work differently now. Like they had to like take this out, like replug it in, like put this with that. And so,
she'd be a candidate for a squatty potty, I think.
My mom, we were talking about squatty potty last night. And she was like, I don't need a squatty potty. It shoots right out of me. Like, ever since she, all the patients who have this, like, everyone's like, oh, yeah, I shit all the time. And, like, I fart all the time. Like, it's a side effect of, like, the way they, like, the sure. drugs and stuff. And so, in the documentary we're making, my mom, we knock out her bucket list. And she's been watching me do stand-up since I was 14.
Yep.
And she was like, I've never done stand-up. I really want to do that. And it was funny because when I was younger doing comedy, she'd be like, I really wish that you would do smart stuff. You know, like Ellen, like you don't need to do dirty jokes or
my folks
fart
were the
jokes.
Same way.
Yeah. And
but that's what's funny now. That's,
yeah. Well, right. And then now that my mom farts all the time, she has all this fart material. We were going over like, okay, what are you going to do in the benefit? Because you were nice enough to come and perform in the benefit
show.
With Fitzsimmons and Hardwick
and
Fortune Feimster. Yeah.
And your mom does stand up for the first time.
My mom does stand up for the first time.
And crushes.
Oh, she crushed it. It was so funny because I told Hardwick, I was like, hey, like we have you as the headliner because, you know, you're Chris Hardwick and we're doing this at Nerd Melts.
Yep.
And he's like, no way am I following the cancer patients. Screw that. And I was like, that's fair. Like, that's a really good point. And there was a bunch of patients there and a bunch of people from the hospital. And my mom got up there and she told like this 5-minute long fart story, just this really long fart story. And it was so funny. And
she's so comfortable. She was a teacher for a
while? Yeah,
time?
She was a teacher.
Yeah, so she was, I mean, she told stories of teaching, but like,
but she had two margaritas before she got up there, but that helped.
But also, like, I mean, I was incredibly impressed by her just poise up there. And like, even though she's like, well, I used to teach, I'm like, I get that that's a public speaking thing, but like, you're now, I know you weren't probably trying to make your kids laugh the whole time.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm sure she was because she seemed like she was probably a fun
teacher.
Yeah,
she's a jokester. Yeah, for sure.
But it was incredible to watch.
Well, we definitely, I mean, that's the thing is, so when this whole thing started, I was on Hardwick's podcast and he's like, what are you talking about? Your stand-up? And I was like, you know, my mom's got cancer and we joke about it. And
I was going to ask that, like, at what point did you start to have to go, we need to start like finding some.
Cancer gets in your family and everyone's affected. And I was like, this is so stupid that I'm not talking about this in my stand-up, or it's like impossible. I couldn't write and not talk about it because it was affecting every single part of my life.
And a lot of people think it's a sensitive, should be off-limits subject.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I mean, like I did one show at the HaHa once and somebody came up to me afterwards and was like, wow, thank you so much for doing that. Like that was so nice because like my mom had cancer and we used to joke about it. And then that person I'm talking to, I'm like, okay, bye. And then this black guy walks up to me just super angry and intense and like ripped. And I was like, ah, and he was like, that was fucking insensitive. My dad had cancer and I didn't come here to go through that shit. Right.
Oh,
and he like walks out and I was
both
like,
sides of the spectrum.
Yeah. And I was like, you know, it really made me second guess. Like, should I just not do this material? And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Because I think it's funny. And the thing that sucks is it's too soon. That guy's going through something and he's not acknowledging his feelings.
Yeah.
And you know what? At least he came to my show and fucking felt something, you know,
1,000%.
Like, he remembers that show.
So your mom, when she's
better
going,
or worse, but
yeah. Which, I never forget the day he had to relive his father's.
But it's funny because, when we first started making the movie, Hardwick was like, I don't know how you could do that. Like, I think people come to shows, like, forget about that kind of shit, you know? And then his dad died. And then when he did the benefit, which was almost a year later, he has all these dead dad jokes. And he's like, I mean, I get it. Like, it's too much. Like, how do I not talk about
it? Well, comedy and humor is just like, obviously, like they say, it is the best medicine. And
Absolutely, it is. 1,000%
is, because there's only so long you can grieve and let something bum you out. And like, you know, I've had a few deaths in the family and more actually friends than family. And it's like... And I've gotten so bummed that eventually I'm like, I can't, I've canceled shows. Cause I'm like, there's no way I can be funny now. I can't like think. And then eventually you're just like, how long do you want to like let it eat you up and go and live your life where you're that?
Right.
And it's not like just because you start trying to make light of the situation or try to, inject humor back into your life, you're not like disregarding that person's existence.
No, not at all. I think as soon as, like, it took me a while to acknowledge that life is suffering, and then there's the stuff in between, you know, like a lot of like Buddhists kind of believe that, like your life is just like a bunch of tragedy. And then in the in between, you have to, you know, make it lighter,
and it's true
because yes, my mom has cancer, but she will die. And I need to like let that go. And I'm going to die. And shit's going to happen. And stuff's going to suck. And that's just how it goes. So in the in-between, like if you can be laughing about it, then great. And so
she tried to find some. So as she's going through all this, you're like, all right, mom, you need some other distractions, right? You got to find some.
Well, I mean, my aunt started playing World of Warcraft after her husband died because she became a zombie. My uncle dropped dead at 46 and her son was just like, mom, like you never leave the house. If you're not going to do anything, like here, play this game. And he moved to Florida and it was a way that they could hang out every night.
It's like what? It's like Halo? World of Warcraft?
Warcraft is, it's an MMO, which means it's a massive multi-online game, where people from all over the world can log on and you level up. You like pick a character and you go on quests and you fight monsters, but you can do it with people. You have like a guild of people and you guys achieve things together. And
you make your own Goonies team.
Yeah, you make your own Goonies team.
And you go around the world around these worlds that are created in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And you go on these Warcrafts.
I realized I came home once. I was trying to make more in an effort to come home more. And I came home and my mom just got this package in the mail and I was like, what is that? She's like, oh, Eagle Bear saw this juice on Dr. Oz. It's supposed to be good for cancer. I was like, who is Eagle Bear? She's like, Eagle Bear, he's in my guild, you know? And I'm like, no, you just gave this guy your address? And she's like, oh, it's not a big deal. It's Eagle Bear. I'm like, you keep saying that. What is his name, you know? And it was this guy in Jersey who's been playing Warcraft with my mom and my aunt for a really long time. They've never met, but like he really cares about my mom. These people in Canada, it's like they knew more about how my mom was feeling about what she was going through than dad sitting next to her or my sisters. I was like, guys, you know how like mom like sometimes can just say shit like, well, if it doesn't get better soon, I'm just going to kill myself. You know how she can just say stuff like that? My sister's like, no, we don't. She's never said that to us. And the people that she plays Warcraft were like, yeah. Like, we'll be getting ready to go kill a monster. And she'll just be like, today's just one of those days that I just don't feel like fighting anymore. And they're like, all right, well, this, you know, monster ain't going to kill itself. Like, somebody's got to level up. We're not going to get to 90
Terry,
with that attitude.
We understand you're going through some shit, but Eagle Bear needs some backup.
Yeah, and it's like...
trying to get that second coin.
My mom and I have become more closer because I'm like, I have to talk about everything and I get all my feelings out. And I talk about everything on stage. And also I'm the one going to the hospital with her all the time because she gets treated here in LA. So she comes down for treatment. She stays with me. And so I know what's going on with her. And I just assumed she was telling my dad and my sisters. But what I didn't realize is that her therapy was these people in the game. And it's easier for her to talk to them because she can not talk about it or she can talk about it and they're far away and she doesn't have to feel like she's being a burden to them. Whereas when she tells my sisters, she was like, well, you know, your sisters have kids and like they're dealing with their marriages.
She doesn't want to burden people.
And I think that that's really common for anybody who has cancer or anybody who is going through illness or anything like serious. It's like they don't talk to each other because they're afraid to be a burden. And so the game or any sort of like online connection sort of thing for that kind of thing. And the eagle bear is like in love with my aunt. We surprised my aunt. She's never met him and we didn't tell her, but we brought him out to BlizzCon and they met for the first time. And
BlizzCon is the big video game.
Oh yeah. It's like Comic-Con, but only for Blizzard games. So it's just World of Warcraft and Diablo and StarCraft, the games that they make.
And I saw the pictures and in the documentary trailer, where can they find the trailer?
Oh, wowmomthemovie.com. We have a trailer that we showed at the benefit, which we haven't released, but we're going to be releasing that this week. So we'll put it on the site though.
Okay.
Wowmomthemovie.com.
And then you guys went to this BlizzCon and they dressed up.
Oh yeah. We did. You know, I told my mom, I was like, all right, we're going to do this documentary and we're going to explore how you play Warcraft and we're going to raise awareness for NET and, you know, bucket list. Let's go. Well, I was thinking she was going to be like, I've never been to Italy or like, and she goes, I want to go to BlizzCon
and
I want to do it in costume, you know?
Yeah. And what if on her bucket list was, I want to get back Tim McGeffen for calling you a fire crotch.
I'd be like, let's go. Let's do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I pitched, so I'm repped for Unscripted now, and I was like, here's a show. People track down their old bullies I've pitched so many
make
bully
amends
shows.
Or to get revenge.
Kind of both. You just see where they're at. Like, if they're like working at McDonald's, it's like, hey, Jake, you know, never mind, you know. But it's also just like, what is that thing you've always wanted to say to your bully, you know? Like,
sure.
Track them down. Say it. See where they're at. Anyway, because some of my bullies who have not been named are still awful people. Like,
for
they're
sure.
really terrible
yeah.
people.
Once a bully, always a bully.
So, yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Okay, so the documentary, the in, like, what would you say, like, the, I mean, you did it because why?
Because when your parents get sick and you're a comic, it's really annoying that you're not a brilliant scientist. It's like that thing where you're like, oh, I can't fix this. I can't. So this is not something I can help out. I can't solve this.
How long do you battle with that? Or just like I mean, obviously, just the
it's just awful. It's affected everything. Like, I was dating this really amazing guy, and we're not dating anymore. But he was like, "You're not handling your mom's cancer well. You need to go talk to somebody." And I didn't really realize how much it was really affecting my life. And then I started talking about it on stage, and then other people would come to me, and other comics were like, "My nephew has cancer, and I want to talk about it so bad, but I just feel like I can't talk about it on stage." Like, I was at Cedars-Sinai, and this girl walked up to me, and she had a wig on, and she was like, "Hey, I've been to your comedy shows. I want to do jokes about my cancer, and I don't know how to do it." And it was just like, I've got this whole new community of people. But the reason I'm making the movie is because I felt like I didn't really have any other choice. It's one of those things that, you know, when Hardwick was like, "What if you made a film?" And then my mom was in a hospital bed at the time, and she was miserable, and she was complaining and just feeling like all is lost. And I was like, "Mom, like, what if we made a movie and like we could spread awareness for this thing?" And she was like, "Oh, you mean I can not die for nothing?" And I was like, "Okay, that's really depressing. Like, don't say that. That's a little dramatic, lady. Get it together." But it is something that once I started to make it, you know, I asked this DP, a friend of mine, Will Reese. I was like, "Look, like, do you want to come? You're not going to make any money." And he was like, "Andy, if we did this movie, it would be the best thing I've ever been a part of. Yes, I want to do that." The sound people volunteered in honor of their mom. Like, the credits of the movie are going to be like, "This movie was made in tribute to," because so many people have worked on the project as like, "Hey, I want to do this for my mom or my dad or my brother or whoever." And I did this interview with this guy who lost his son to brain tumors. And before his son died, they used to play tons of Warcraft and he could do it. And, you know, even when he was in the hospital bed, and Blizzard, like, for his Make-A-Wish, like, brought him to the Blizzard campus and they put him in the game and they've got this quest that you can play. And his dad was just like, "You know, I got a lot of press for my son's story when we did this whole thing, because it was it's one of the top 10 Make-A-Wishes of all time, actually, still." And he's like, "But when the press came to me, I'm not good at speaking. And I felt like I didn't do my son's story justice." So, cause he was like shaking, and I was like, "Look, man, we'll do this interview. And when I cut it together, if you don't feel like it's right, we'll come back and we'll just do it as many times as we have to, because, right, you know, I'm going to honor your son. The game has done a lot for people. Gaming has done a lot for people. And also, like, you know, it means a lot to people." So, like, once we got started on this thing, it was just like, oh, well, I can't stop. And also, when you see your mom at her lowest point, and then all of a sudden she has a light in her eyes, and now she tells people about the movie all the time, like, hey, like, tell your friends because they're going to learn about this cancer and then maybe they won't get misdiagnosed. It's, you know, it's been a lot of pressure. It's been really terrible, but also really great. It's been the hardest thing, but the most rewarding. And
well, at the core of it, it's like, it's your mom.
It's my mom.
And like,
you know,
I mean, I got so choked up watching the trailer.
Cause yeah.
It's like, I'm a huge mama's boy.
Yeah, you are.
And yeah, you know, I care about you so much.
Aww.
And so it's like, it's just like, I can't even imagine like, that like go having that be a scenario and then like, yeah, what you would do. And you just like, I mean,
I'm like, what can I do? I can tell jokes and I know how to make, I mean, I'm a filmmaker, not a feature filmmaker, but I know how to shoot stuff. And
your mom is such a wonderful person, and you're getting into like selfishly, like getting to like share her with like, and show other people how, I mean, there's just on so many different levels, and the gaming aspect, which is like incredible to see like that there's something like that. Cause getting to see how people deal with like these types of like tragedies in their families.
Yeah.
And to see her like, I mean, I remember when I saw her, I think when she first was going through stuff, mm-hmm, and yeah, her spirits were low, and it was like,
real low.
She was putting on a happy face because I hadn't seen her in a while. But mm-hmm, then like a complete 180 seeing her at the show, it was just like, she's got something to live for.
Yeah.
And you're like such a big part of that. And I can't even,
thanks.
I mean, it's,
yeah, it's like, I did this interview last night with MMORPG.com, and, the guy was just like, hey, like, he messaged me afterwards. He's like, hey, thanks so much for doing this. And then, he's like, I really hope you reach your Kickstarter goal, but more so, I hope you get more time with your mom. And this is a comedy podcast.
It's okay.
but you know, it's one of those things that, we're all going to die. And it's like, I know that we're all going to die, but there's just this like not knowing, you know, like when we were at BlizzCon, my mom passed out and my DP comes over and he's like, your mom is down in the other room. Like, they're calling 911. And I was like, turn the cameras off. And I was just like, oh my God. I started making this movie. My mom died in it. And, she ended up just needing another surgery. There's so many people that are in the same boat, you know, it's a really lonely boat. Like, I didn't want to tell people about my mom's cancer initially because I didn't want to play the cancer card until I really needed it, you know, because you only get so many outs on stuff.
Sure.
I was working on different TV shows or having different jobs, or even like I was doing theater shows and, you know, you miss another rehearsal and they're like, sorry, you're out. And it's like, it doesn't matter that your mom has cancer. Sorry, but like, you're done. And it's like, you know, it sucks. Like, it affects everything, you know? And,
you put your life on
you have to, you know, a lot, and people do. And so it was just so great that it's like, I kind of have this thing to put it into. And, my sister, Abby, one of the first interviews I do with her, one, she doesn't understand Warcraft. She doesn't think people should play much. and then she also, like on camera, she's like, are you doing this for you, for your career? Are you just taking advantage of mom's cancer for your career?
Whoa.
And I was like, whoa, like, this is, I'm putting all of my personal money into this thing.
Yeah.
I'm doing this like for, this is keeping this lady going. What? And later, you know, we got into a fight, and sure, later what it really turned out, she was just like, she felt like she wasn't doing enough for mom,
yeah,
you know? And I think that that's the thing. Everyone feels helpless because we're not scientists. I can't solve this one.
Because there's got to be even times throughout the process of putting this film together that you're just like, is this enough? Like, what am I even doing with this? Like, is this,
yeah,
enough? Like, this is, what is this going to do?
Yeah. You know,
again, like not seeing the immediate, like, but,
sure,
but things like that show. And like, I'm sure your mom,
oh my God,
going to BlizzCon and like,
benefit was just, and you know, the great thing about that benefit too, is that we got all these interviews with comics like you and stuff in the green room as well. And just asking them like, hey, like, is it okay to joke about cancer? Is it not okay? It's,
yeah,
really interesting to see comics' perspective on the topic. And it's kind of just starting a conversation that people aren't having, because I think it's ridiculous that still people still feel like they can't say cancer. When there's a television show about cancer, they call it the C word. Like, you, people don't even say it. Or they, you know, Red Band Society or whatever it is. Like, people feel like you can't say that word. Like, it's this taboo thing. So when you are somebody who has cancer, which is like 1 in 3 people, right? It's, it sucks, because when my mom got really thin and sickly, people would be like, oh my God, Terry, like, you're so thin. And, you know, cancer patients have said that they feel like when you tell somebody you have cancer, it's like handing them a bad day. So if you can avoid it, you do. And my mom would, like, everyone in my hometown just thought my mom was like on a diet or like exercising weird, you know? And it's like, I was like, Mom, like, you should be able to tell people. Who gives a fuck if it gives them a bad day? Like, that's their problem.
Yeah, I'm on this,
like,
new diet. It's no carbs and chemo.
And chemo, yeah. You hear about this? You hear about this? It's,
would,
it's huge.
Would she start to kind of, like, retort back with people? Or would she,
well,
just kind of just avoid,
no,
it?
No, because she just wanted to avoid it. And that's so lonely. Yeah. And that's so sad. And I realized I wasn't telling people. And that was making me feel lonely, yeah, and me feel terrible. And I was like, why do I feel terrible? I'm not the one with cancer. And I started talking about it. That caused other people to start talking about it. And this movie has just been made. It's a labor of love of a whole community of people. I owe a lot of people big thank yous. And they're going to get it in the movie.
It's and how can people help? Because the trailer is on, one more time.
Wow.
Wow.
W-O-W-M-O-M, themovie.com.
You're one of the most hardest working, and every project you get involved with is awesome because,
oh,
of your talents and your work ethic and how you've developed this, like, I was telling you this last time I saw you, like, business savvy too, where you used to be my super funny friend that was awesome, and now you're like, you have this huge business side. And this trailer, if it doesn't make you cry and laugh and want to see the movie in its entirety, you don't have a soul. And I'm talking about you, Tim McGeffen. I am going to donate when we get done with this, and I just hope I can donate more, because it's,
yeah, we really, because here's the thing. I can edit. Like, yes, I can. You're right. Like, to make a career in this entertainment business nowadays, like, you kind of need to do everything.
Yep.
And, but this is not something that I can edit. Like, I've got an editor on board who edits feature length documentaries, right? Because I need to make this great. I owe it to everyone who's been a part of it. I owe it to that guy's son. I owe it to my mother. I owe it to a cancer patient in Denmark. I owe it to the gaming community, the cancer community, daughters, son. Like, I'm going to make this movie for, yeah, everybody. And I'm not the person to edit it. A professional editor who does documentaries,
yeah,
he's going to edit
who
it.
Who makes movies incredible.
Exactly.
And makes people like you see incredible movies put together and go,
yeah,
oh man, it's possible to, like, make one of my own and touch people the way that this,
yeah,
is going to. They,
yeah,
can go to,
like,
what can they go to?
They can go to wowmomthemovie.com and to donate. And
Kickstarter, that's where the Kickstarter is.
Yep, everything reroutes to there. And we have amazing prizes that people are not jumping in,
yeah,
on.
People don't understand that Kickstarter isn't just get, like, there's incentives.
You,
like,
get incentives. The, yeah, incentives are amazing. Like, for one, the entire cast of Transformers Rescue Bots will record your voicemail, which includes Maurice LaMarche, Lacey Chabert. Yeah, so Fetch, she will be on your voicemail. There's like the guy who did the voice of the Brain, Steve Blum, who does Wolverine, and he's a countless, he's over 300 characters in the Blizzard games,
oh,
right?
Shit.
All these people will record your voicemail. Chris Hardwick donated this really awesome prize package. You can go to At Midnight Talking Dead. He'll sign a book, a
That's
t-shirt.
So fucking cool.
He's giving you everything. You get a meet and greet. Then we have like one that nobody's touching, which is really amazing. It's a fantasy photo shoot, because after my mom got dressed up like a goblin, right? We did a photo shoot. And so now it's like, what do you want to dress up as? We will dress you up as anything. We'll get your costume, your makeup in a pro studio with a pro photographer. Like, what do you want? Like, we will make you your poster of whatever you want to be. You want to be a fairy? You want to be a unicorn? You want to be a goblin? Like, you know, a hero? Whatever. We can make it happen. And then, I mean, there's t-shirts. And even you can have a Skype pizza party with cast members from the guild, and you get a whip lesson. He whips this guy who is a whip instructor. He teaches people how to like Indiana Jones their shit. He was like, hey, can I donate some lessons? I was like, fuck yeah, you can. I can't believe nobody's going after that. Like, it's like, what?
You can donate $5. You can donate
$1. You can donate $5. You can donate $10,000.
I push very little stuff on this podcast, but all of the listeners of the About Last Night podcast, go to this website tonight, donate something, because I'm telling you, it is not only an incredibly worthwhile project, but it's going to help and impact a lot of people on a bunch of different levels.
And when we make the movie, if we ever turn a profit and people really like it and it explodes like I know it's going to, proceeds from the film are going to go to benefit cancer. So
come on.
You're helping.
How many opportunities do you have to be a part of something great like that?
Never.
By doing so very little?
Yeah, exactly.
I love you.
I love you. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah. I'm sorry that I cried on your podcast.
Are you kidding me? I'm sorry I started it.
You guys, Adam did cry.
I did cry.
Adam was crying.
No, you can't see it.
I appreciate this so much.
Come on. I mean, it's...
And know. Adam's in the movie. Adam's an amazing interview, and he did a set.
Did
a
I get some good sound benefit. Bites in?
Oh, you got some great sound bites in. You kidding me?
I was so...
great interview.
That's always with those things. I'm always like, God, did I... Because I wanted to give like real answers, but then you also forget like this is a... You know, you want to have some funny in there, but...
Yeah. No, it was great. It was absolutely great.
You're on Twitter, too?
I'm on the Twitter.
Plug all that social media stuff.
Yeah. At @AndieBolt.
Awesome.
That's my Twitter. And then I'm on the Facebook. And
you gotta be. You gotta be these days.
You gotta be on the Facebook.
You gotta do all of it. Because, here's the thing. People don't see enough pictures of salad. And also, there's, so many, great, stories,
Stories about salad.
Stories about salad.
Yeah.
And also, a BuzzFeed thing,
about
10
salad.
Different
Top 10 salads. Top 10 salads to eat before you diet.
Before you diet. And then and then when you diet, the top 10 salads that you, wish you could have while you're dieting.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, I don't know, then there's also great things, pictures of, black dudes that you really had a weird fetish for.
Oh yeah.
But you never got to live out because now you're dating a white dude whose best friend is a black dude.
And it would be weird for him.
It would be weird for him because
he'd feel like
Do you want it? Is that what you want?
Are you trying to get it?
Are you trying to get it?
Are you trying to let him get at it?
So that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs. Now go listen to more episodes on iTunes or your phone. Subscribe and tell your family and everyone you know.
But what should I tell them? Well, you can just tell them that
Brad Williams and Adam Ray can help you get through the fucking day. Just follow us on Twitter at Funny Brad, and I'm at Adam Ray Comedy.
Everybody, it's me, Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.